This is an interview with Mrs. Lillian Short Camper, a septuagenarian who has lived in the Harrington area all her life. She is the widow of Mr. J.U.F. Camper, who has been well known for his miniature wood carvings depicting Delaware lifestyle. The day of this recording is April 20th, 1994.
About Catherine not having any light on her bicycle. So we all sat there and we ate all the ice cream we could hold, or all we had the money to buy any with. And we started home, it was dark, riding single file. We had Catherine in between all of us.
Because she had a light on her bicycle.
She had to have lights on her bicycle to ride at night. But and we did ours. But and the rest of them did, but Kath and Amber didn't have any on theirs, so they rode in the middle of us coming back. And but we had a lot of fun.
Didn't some woman run her off the road and end up in a ditch?
Well, one time we were riding at night, Kath and Amber was with us, and it was just about dark, and we saw this woman coming. Well, Jay and I got off on our bicycle because she was looking right at us and riding right where she was looking. And Catherine, she got too close to Catherine, and Catherine's bicycle turned over in the gutter. Didn't hurt her, but I can't tell you what Catherine said.
I've been not good.
But she called her off. Oh, everything you ever heard tell of. It just tickled us so bad we couldn't ride. Oh, we had a big time, I tell you, with our bikes.
Would you do me a favor and tell me this one more time? I may not have gotten it on my tape yet.
I said during World War II, I had charge of a spotter's post at the end of Dixon Street. Now, I think I'm right on that street that went across there from our house. And that we could see it from our home. If no one came to man the post, I would go down and serve by myself, but not at night. Jay would go with me at night. People would cooperate well and help me out, as they thought it important to keep track of the planes in the air. I never spotted one that didn't belong on a mission. We would call headquarters to report. Now, where headquarters was, I have forgotten. But it was a pay call. But we had a direct line from each spotter post to headquarters. And when we saw a plane, even if it was one of our own, and we were supposed to call it in, whether it was a one motor, two motor, or three or four, whatever it had on it, if it was down low enough for you to see. And most of the time it was, except night. And at night all you could see was the lights. And you'd report this plane.
Did you have any incidents during your time of being an airplane spotter of anything, like at the seashore or anywhere?
No.
Nothing?
Not a thing, no.
In other words, the Atlantic coast was safe.
Put the blankets over the windows?
Yes, that was during the blackout time.
Yeah, it was blackout.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have blankets over all your windows. And
I remember by being in charge of the spotter's post, why I had something else, and I can't remember what it was. I know when, if the lights went out, we would have to report to Doc Chipman's office. There was three or four of us had to report there. And I remember I was going up that, right out in the middle of the road, up that street that goes uptown. Frank O'Neill came along. He was walking. He said, "Where do you think you're going?" I said, "I've got to report to Dr. Chipman's office." He said, "For what?" I said, "Frank, you asked too many questions." I went right home. Didn't nerve did tell me.
What did you have to go there for?
It was just a. It was a.
Like a drill?
Like a drill, yes.
Was Dr. Chipman in charge of a group of people?
No, but that's where we had to report to his office.
I see.
Who was in charge?
Oh, somebody from Dover.
Oh.
And DeWitt Tapman was in charge of a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something to remember.
There wasn't any shortage of anything that you can personally remember as far as your family was concerned?
Oh, sugar.
Sugar was the main thing?
Oh, sugar was the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, by me helping all these farmers out, and meat was another thing. And I didn't want for nothing.
But sugar was one of the hardest things to come by?
Hardest thing to come by. But I managed to get some. And I didn't believe in hoarding, but that's one thing I did hoard was my sugar.
How did you get it? Would you take a sticker to your store, grocery store?
See, Samuel had a store at that time.
Yeah.
And he
got so much sugar in the store?
He got so much, and then he would allot it out to different people.
They'd have to have a sticker for it, though.
They had to have something, show for it to get it.
Yeah, to get it.
Mm-hmm. Just like meats.
Well, just like somebody, if somebody had a business that required use of sugar, they got more stickers than somebody else?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know how Samuel got his supply of sugar. I don't know.
You know, whether there was somebody if there was something if they had a business and made cakes or pies or had a bake shop or something, whether they were somebody that was
I don't know.
I think you could get what you needed. And I'm sure that a bake shop didn't want for anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just was, they didn't want it abused. And they don't want you using more than you're supposed to.
Sugar sounds like an odd thing to be rationed, though, doesn't it to you or not?
It was.
Well, it probably was brought into the country, and so
that
made
it.
Yes, that made it hard to get. Yes. Now, on the gasoline rationing, didn't they have stickers they put on the windshield denoting what use your car was used for?
You were supposed to know that, the garage people.
You mean, but they had
there
a
was
a, on
like
the
an A, B, and C, if
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what were the denotion? What did that denote?
How much you were supposed to get.
The A being the highest
amount of sugar of gasoline they could get along with.
I see. And as long as they had, we'll say, an A sticker, and they had enough coupons to buy that amount
they
of gas,
buy that amount
they
of
could
gas.
Get it.
Mm-hmm. But we never had anybody that we knew of dealing with us that was, well, they couldn't hoard gasoline. But if they had the stickers to buy it, they got it. But we had to have something to show for what went with our gasoline.
Mm-hmm. You had to make keep a listing of
everybody.
That,
mm-hmm.
Did you have to list who got the gas and how much?
Oh, yeah. We had a book that we would write out a receipt for their gasoline, and it had a duplicate sheet. And we kept the duplicate sheet. And
so that they knew where they were going, knew where it was going.
They knew where it was going.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody today, they can't, I don't think that they could realize everything is so free to everybody today. I don't think they could realize what it was during World War II. But, as I said, if you handled it right, everybody got
you had to make the best
what they needed. They didn't want for it. I mean, now people with small children, things like that, they were allotted a little more.
Yes, according to size of family.
And boots and shoes were even rationed. Yeah. And of course, I think a lot of the farmers that never had boots in their life, when they found out they couldn't get them, they wanted them. So they had to have boots.
I don't know what else to ask you, because my memories are very much the same as yours.
Yeah.
And of course yours is from an adult viewpoint, and mine, I was a child at this time. But
oh dear Grace,
you brought back a lot of memories for me, and I'm sure you will for other people when they hear what you have to say. What were you doing when the armistice was finally signed? Can you remember?
Yeah, I remember where J.E. was. J.E. was out in the field, and he was tilling his father's farm. Now, the armistice was signed when? What year?
In 45, I believe.
45, was mm-hmm. it? Well, he was out there, and when the armistice was signed, no, he wasn't. He was out, had a bunch of people out cleaning up some new ground.
Cleaning up brush and stuff?
Uh-huh, cleaning up a new ground so he could till it.
Mm-hmm.
For putting more things. Mm-hmm. And I went out there and told him that the armistice was signed.
Would you hear it on the radio?
I heard it on the radio. And he just dropped everything right there, and everybody had work and told him to go home.
Work's done.
Yeah,
I'm
work's
sorry.
Done.
War's over.
Work's done. We don't have to do any more.
But at that point, you all worked, all lived in the country?
Mm-hmm. We lived here in town.
Oh, you lived here in town?
Oh, yeah, we lived in town.
Well, you had a service station, right?
Oh, yeah.
During the war?
Yeah. That's why gassing was, you know, when we were connected with the gassing business.
And the tars and stuff.
Tars and things like that. And, but it was something to go through.
Did you consider it a real hardship?
Then, no. But I wouldn't want to go through it again.
You didn't, but...
Not then I didn't, no. Because mm-hmm. I knew it was something that had to be done. Mm-hmm. And of course I was much younger. Mm-hmm. And I could do more. And work didn't hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, I know that you are aware of world affairs and you know what's been going on. Can I ask you what was the difference between World War II and the reason that we got so involved, and perhaps the Vietnam War or the war in the East that we just went through, Desert Storm? Can you tell me what the difference might have been in those?
Grace, I can't, because I don't know.
Don't you think people's lost their patriotism?
That's part of it.
Yeah.
And I think, too, when we were fighting World War II, we knew who our enemy was. In these others, it was so diversified, I don't think we knew who the enemy
was.
We
didn't know who they were. They might be somebody who was right standing close to us.
And I think another thing, too, is the poor boys that went over and fought, especially the Vietnam War, got a raw deal.
Yeah,
I think it was a shame because America didn't stand behind them. They didn't believe in this war.
No.
In that war. And the poor boys that went to fight it wasn't their fault they had to go.
Well, do you know what I always said? If the high Mackinacs that started this war
or got us involved
had to go and fight themselves, they would not have all these young people going and losing their lives. There would be no wars.
That's true. Very true. I think, too, like Denise has just said, patriotism was at an all-time high during World War II. And
the Americans have lost a lot.
Yeah, I don't think they have the faith in their country or the patriotism behind it that they had at that point.
No, I think that people don't, I don't know. I think, too, that we have become a nation of taking things for granted. That, you know, we're America, and we think we're the greatest, you know, but they're not...
we're considered the greatest.
Well, we might be considered the greatest, but a lot of people have a dim view of America now.
Yeah.
Of America. A lot of people don't feel that America's the greatest. They feel that we're overtaxed and underpaid and, you know, and it's a shame.
Well, I'll tell you.
I got a son in the military, and I'll tell you, it's scary.
Yes.
I think that America's getting involved in a whole lot of things. Just like this Korea, we're talking about going to Korea. Why do we have to be the ones to come in and fight everybody's battle?
Well, it seems like we've always been the watchdog of all the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what the reason, but it's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mrs. Camper, I appreciate this interview. Now, let's...